This episode of WTW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And, you know, when you're looking to plan a trip to Walt Disney, you're saying to yourself, you know, man, I am just up to here with the snow. I have got it just everywhere. Or maybe you're in, I don't know, some other state where it's just cold. Or wherever you are, cold, warm. If you're not near Walt Disney World, it stinks. But the good news is, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan a great trip to Walt Disney World and get you a great price on it, because after all the nuances of getting a good deal at Disney World, well, they're changing daily, it seems. Like, there's so many discounts and deals out there and differences and, you know, there's a lot of stuff to keep track. Now, if you're a line tester, hey, you enjoy that kind of stuff. This is what you do for fun. But for people that have a life, you know, maybe you want to be able to just do other things and not have to worry about figuring out the best possible deal, and the travel agents at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel are here to help you get the best possible deal. In fact, they're a great agency. It's what we use when we plan our trips, so why shouldn't you? Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. Also sponsoring today's episode is All-Star Vacation Homes, and boy, do I love an All-Star Vacation Home when I'm going to Walt Disney World. Why? Because it gives me so much space, so many great amenities, and so much separation from my family. I love them, but I need separation. I don't want to sleep in the same room as them. I don't want to be the, okay, how quiet can I be? Will my iPhone screen brightness wake up the children? I don't want to play that game. I hate that game. I don't want to hear my daughter sing Let It Go while she puts, you know, while she goes to sleep. I want to be in a separate room. I want to be able to watch TV when I go to sleep. Whatever the case may be, the great thing about All-Star Vacation Homes is it gives me all that flexibility, and for not a lot of price, you really have to check out the homes they got, because it's just amazing in terms of what you get for what you pay. Check it out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com. And we're also being sponsored by touringplans.com. And, you know, if you want to be the hero of your family, if you want to get down to Walt Disney World and see all the attractions that you want to see, all the attractions your kids want to see, all the attractions that guy who's traveling with you wants to see, the good news is you can see it all and do it all without waiting for it all. And touringplans.com has some great options for you to make sure that you're going to see all your favorite attractions. And it's really just that easy. There's not a whole lot to it. That's the beauty of touringplans.com. It's not just a bunch of data stored somewhere and you got to figure it out. No, no, no. They give it to you nicely. There's an app. There are web applications. You go on the website and it spits back out for you. Man, it's beautiful. Check it out right now at touringplans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, February 18th, 2015, and this is episode 1448 of WTW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Matt, mark my words, in about, maybe sometime around mid to late October, there will be a population explosion here in the Northeast thanks to Snowmageddon. but there was a small explosion yesterday at Saturday, February 14th. We want to congratulate Mr. and Mrs. Voice, Jamie and Rick Gregg, on the birth of their daughter, Lauren Elizabeth, who came into this world at 8:01 a.m. on Valentine's Day, weighing 8 pounds, 4 ounces, 20 inches long. Congratulations to Jamie and Rick, and many more to come.
Congratulations, kids.
Yes, very good. Congratulations, suckers. Also joining us on today's show is...
8 pounds and 20 inches long, that's a good-sized bass. I mean, you
know. Less teeth, though.
Didn't put up a fight either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The bass is cheaper in the long run. I said there's the man whose daughter's car insurance just went up $2,000 a year because of an accident.
Also joining us on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of The Initial Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. So come to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding.
I think kids can take the bus everywhere, right, these days? I mean, the bus goes everywhere, right?
It's the chariot of the people.
The people's chariot. What the hell? Yes. What? When I was your age, I would kill to have a bus pass like this.
Boy, there are 60-year-olds that would die for one of those.
Are you kidding? You're the people you meet. Oh, so much fun.
Yeah. Plus, it's environmentally sensitive.
Compare tattoos, a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Jeez. Kids these days, Len. Was it bad accident or was it
a... No. Funny story though. The person, a family she got in an accident, the family she got into an accident with was actually headed to Walt Disney World.
Irony.
I know, right?
Well, touring plan subscription.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I got a book over here.
Can I help you with anything?
Nice.
Yeah, they're happy to be passing through Greensboro. Yeah, anyway. All right.
That's funny. On today's show, we're actually continuing kind of what we started last episode, where we're sharing the results of the Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World Reader Surveys. And you may recall in last week's episode, we talked about the restaurants. These are dining surveys, I should say. And as we're dining in the parks, and this week we're going to be talking about the dining at the various Walt Disney World resorts and Downtown Disney, or what's left of Downtown Disney.
Right.
So where should we start, Len?
Well, you want to start at the top? So let me give you some background. So there's definitely more than 100 restaurants that we're talking about here. Interestingly, the number of survey responses that are negative mm-hmm. seem to be larger as we look at the resorts and Downtown Disney. So whereas in the theme parks, the average thumbs up rating for a restaurant, it's like 85%, which means that, you know, everyone's a B-plus student automatically. For the resorts and for Downtown Disney, the average is actually 75. I think it's the first time in memory that this has ever happened. I can't remember this ever happening before. So average is 75, which means that anything that scores above a 90 or above is probably pretty good. And conversely, you know, anything that's below 70, you know, below 66 is probably pretty bad.
So why is there a big change between the two? Why do you think that the resorts score lower on average than the parks?
For a couple of reasons. So it's the resorts and Downtown Disney. So I think you see a little bit more of variety in terms of the quality, let's face it, especially in Downtown Disney. I mean, I think there's a big difference between Raglan Road and perhaps some other dining establishments.
Are you saying that Downtown Disney is like the Detroit of Walt Disney World?
No, there's certainly there are very good restaurants there. I mean, again, Raglan Road is good. You know, there are a couple other places there that are pretty good. But I think when you look at that, if you look at sort of the sit-down restaurants, especially at the moderates, maybe those aren't. You know, we're talking about Shutters. We're talking about you know, places like that. Those aren't very good, right?
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
So we'll go through this. So lots of interesting things to talk about here, and we'll go through it. So, by the way, this also includes counter service restaurants at those. So, two restaurants tied at the very top. One is a counter service. One is a sit-down restaurant.
I know what the counter service is, rather.
What's the counter service?
Whatever the Art of Animation one's, Shadows of Love or whatever it's called.
Landscape of Flavors.
Yeah, that's the one.
Shadows of Love.
Love. I knew it was the word "up" was in there. He's not Cougar anymore. It's just John Mellencamp.
John Mellencamp. Yeah, standing in the shadows of Love. Actually, that's a quote. The Temptations. Anyway, so the best, the highest rated counter service is at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, the Mara. The Mara.
Wow. Mara.
Really.
Yeah. They have the worst falafel I've ever eaten over there, by the way.
Huh. I've been there recently. I've been there in the past, you know, 6 months. You know, I think the flatbreads are pretty good. The grill service is pretty good. The ambiance there isn't what I mean, it's like a Burger King, let's face it. Once you get the food, it's, you know, there's not much there. Maybe the people are eating outside by the pool and it's better there.
It's not bad. I mean, they have a little.
No, it's not bad. Is it the best counter service outside the parks?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I'm surprised. I thought for sure it was landscape of flavors.
We'll go through a few more here, and we'll talk about it. All right, the number one sit down in Walt Disney World outside of the theme parks.
Mike, what do you think?
That's gonna be close. I'm thinking. You know, you did mention Raglan Road, Len, and I had that in mind, but I think this depends upon. This depends upon who has tried it, but I think Matt and I would probably agree on this. It's right now it's Sanaa for me.
Right, but the readers don't go that way.
Yeah,
I'm thinking I'm going to go with the obvious one. I'm going to say Victoria and Albert's.
Right resort, wrong restaurant.
Citrico's?
No, Citrico's.
Right resort, wrong restaurant.
Park 1900 Park Fair.
Right resort, wrong restaurant.
Oh, Narcoossee's.
Narcoossee's.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. By the way, just for kicks, 1900 Park Fair, Victoria and Albert's, and Narcoosie's all rated above 91%, 92% and above. Yeah. So Grand Floridian Dining is doing exceptionally well. Victoria and Albert's came in 94%, so just a little bit off the pace there. But yeah, Narcoosie's, and that's actually Narcoosie's has done that well now for a couple of years. I've eaten there several times in the last couple of years. I really like it. I think the bar is criminally underrated at Narcoosie's. I really like the bar quite a bit. I like the bartenders there. The food is fresh. It's simple and it's seafood based. So if you like those sort of things, it's good.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that it's up there because it's always been an upper echelon restaurant. Certainly, it's got the price for it.
Well, the interesting thing though is it's everyone's third choice or fourth choice at the Grand Floridian, which is really surprising. I mean, just think about what we just did. We just went through four restaurants till we got to that. But yeah, Narcoosie's.
Huh.
I'm happy with that. All right, so the next, I'll give you the next restaurant down. The next restaurant down is a sit down, and it is Epcot Resorts. And then there's one at Downtown Disney. What are the next two? One is they're both sit downs.
So these are sit downs at Downtown Disney?
No. So one is an Epcot Resort sit down.
Oh. Flying Fish.
Two of the next three are Epcot Resort sit downs. One is at Downtown Disney.
What's it called? Flying Fish.
Nope.
What?
I know.
Wow, these are not going stereotypical here. Epcot Resort restaurant. It's not Captain's Grill.
It is Captain's Grill.
What?
Have you been there recently?
I've always liked it, but I mean, come on, it's ranking this high.
Gotta be some hanging Chad somewhere.
Have you been there recently? It's got some.
Yes, I have.
It's got some really interesting appetizers, some not bad drinks. It's small, it's intimate. I think that actually might work well with Narcoosie's too. Yeah, Captain's Grill. I don't think it's as good as anything else in this list, but for what it is, it's not bad. So the next one, the Downtown Disney one, Splitsville.
I'd agree with that one.
Yeah, you've eaten there a couple of times, haven't you, Scopa?
You know, Len, I've been there for lunch, for dinner several times, and what I like about them is that they don't have anything. I mean, you can't go in and say, okay, this is a hamburger place, this is a pizza place, this is a sushi place, this is a salad place. It's everything. They do everything well. Everything well. So that's one of the things that I can say about Splitsville that I cannot say for pretty much any other restaurant. You can go in there and, you know, with a family, and you know, the kids may want pizza. You may want sushi. You know, Aunty Mae may want seafood. Uncle Phil may want a cheeseburger. Nobody's going to be disappointed.
Who let Uncle Phil out of the basement? That's my question. No, but you know, Scopa, you say that, and I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, they've got that sort of diverse menu that you see at T-Rex or at Rainforest Cafe, you know, the 12-page menu. With the variety, but I think the quality of food is better there. And,
oh, yeah.
And it says something that even though it's in a bowling alley, I think it's quieter than T-Rex.
Last time we went there, Michelle made a very good comment. She says, you know, it doesn't smell like a bowling alley.
Yeah, so you don't smell like feet?
It's a beautiful place to go and eat, you know?
Yeah, it's not bad. I can, you know, is it 95%? Is it in the same league of Victoria and Albert? No, but for what it is. For Downtown Disney dining, I can kind of say
very good value, very good value.
All right, so the next one, also Epcot Resorts. I'll give you a hint. It's at Beach Club.
The buffet.
No.
Beaches and Cream.
Oh, Yachtsman.
No.
Beaches and Cream.
Beaches and Cream. Beaches that makes sense. Cream. I think we're not surprised to hear that, right?
No. The burgers are delicious. Oh my god, I can actually taste right now the burger, the cheeseburger, the bacon cheeseburger that I had there last time. The one thing I'm not a big fan of their fries, but God, their cheeseburgers are good.
You know, I want to put in a good word for Cape May Cafe when we were at our marathon weekend. 2 days in a row we had breakfast there, and it was
really
much better than, oh yeah, it was very good. And we walked in at, you know, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, you know, late breakfast, and it was very, very good. But I haven't been there for dinner lately, so I mean, I have to agree with Beaches and Cream. It's, you know, for obvious reasons, it's very good.
Yeah, it's been a cult classic for a long time among Disney fans because it flies under the radar, right? I think now they actually do take reservations. For a while, they didn't take anything. But it makes it, but it's wonderful for ice cream. It's wonderful for a burger. And obviously, it's one of the best places after Epcot closes on your way back to the resort for something to eat. I mean, it's just like, it's like, it's like for Disney fans, it's like the Waffle House, right? The late night stop place that just has really good food.
In. Yeah.
Geez. Yeah. Exactly. It's true.
All right. So I'm going to give you a couple of things here that maybe we're going a little bit farther down the menu. These are all above 90%. These are all, you know, really good places. My guess is that most of our listeners have not tried the next two. So I'm going to go through it. One, the Ghirardelli Soda Fountain and Chocolate Shop.
Yeah,
really?
Very good.
How much is the free chocolate influencing people over there?
You know, I don't have a comment thing for that. But Scopey, you've eaten there recently? I haven't eaten there recently.
Within the last year, they have a very good alternative to the Noe Jose that you find at Beaches and Cream. So very good, yeah.
Really? Have you ever had a meal there?
No.
Hmm. Maybe no.
I don't think of that place as having a meal. I think of that place as ice cream. You know?
Yeah. Ha. All right. So that's one. The other one, that I think, and I'll bet a lot of our listeners haven't thought about this. The Territory Lounge, the bar at the Wilderness Lodge. 93%.
So if Newell was here, you could, tell a story about this, but he and I were there. I don't know if you two were there. We were there for like, I'm not sure if it was a reunion or what, but we went there for the evening and we asked if we could get food service there. We thought maybe like a burger or something, but they brought out the whole menu from Artist Point, and it was wonderful. It's great because it's great ambiance and you can order and obviously
service
have the drink service.
Yeah, I mean, yep. Laurel and I've been there, oh my god, 4 or 5 times over the last year. And every time it's really good. You can order, like I said, all the appetizers. You can order off them. You can order off. They have their own menu too, which is mildly interesting. But yeah, I mean, we've ordered, you know, cheese plates. We've ordered, you know, mushroom appetizers from Artist Point. And you know, if you go like, you know, 6, 7 o'clock, it's pretty busy. But if you go like 8, 9 o'clock, it's a lot less busy. And you know, the kitchen and the Artist Point has slowed down a little bit. And you can definitely order stuff there. I am not surprised at all seeing this lounge do that well. But I'm telling you, our listeners, if you guys haven't been there, go. And tell them what we sent you. It's a fantastic thing. Next, Boma Flavors of Africa. Boma's always in the 90s percent.
Yep, well.
Here's one that's a little bit surprising to me. Port Orleans Riverside, River Roost Lounge.
Isn't there like really basic food there?
Yeah, is that where, what's his name, place?
Yeah, at,
Yeehaw Bob. That's it. All right, so let's move on. The Garden View Tea Room rates really highly at the Grand Floridian. I agree. It's good value too. Actually, I had tea in New York with Disney Moms panelist Erin Foster and her family. And Laurel and I did, and I think we came away from it both saying that the Grand Floridian tea was better than we did this at the Plaza in New York. And
it
was cheaper too. Yeah, so I mean, think about that.
Wow.
We should go to Disney World and save some money. Anyway.
Yeah, Plaza ain't what it used to be, but it's not bad. It's a great little thing. It's a great little, not only is it a great, like, you know, from a dining perspective, it's a great little activity, especially when you don't have, park tickets, right? And you're looking for, like, resort stuff to get, you know, be able to do stuff in Walt Disney World, but not burn a park day.
Yep.
It's a wonderful little thing.
I agree. All right. So let's go through the rest of the top here. So California Grill.
No surprise. You know, very expensive, I think, but.
Whatever. Very expensive. The view is gorgeous. I'm not a fan, but I don't, you know, I could be wrong. That's fine.
I mean, I ate there once. This is before the recent refurbishment.
The day it opened up. I need to go back. Yeah.
It's going to be a special occasion for me to go.
Yeah, I just can't justify the price. I mean, it's really expensive.
1900 Park Fair, which is the highest rated character and meal and highest rated buffet.
I think it's a really good character, especially a character meal for non-park, not including Chef Mickey's. If you're looking for, I mean, granted, the characters that are there in the morning, it's going to be the Winnie the Pooh characters. But also Mary Poppins. Don't know what that's about. I guess it's just British characters. And then the evening, it switches to princesses. It's a very underrated experience. I think a lot of people overlook it in terms of the princess experience. Granted, there's no Anna and Elsa, but if you're interested in classic princesses, you know, more like Belle and Cinderella, it's not a bad choice. And obviously very close to the Magic Kingdom. So, you know, for kids, it's wonderful.
Cool. We'll finish it off here with a couple more peekaboo over at the Dolphin.
Scopa loves that place.
Yes, I was there. I was there.
You don't know if you over. Len, do you remember one time we ate there at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning?
I think I've only eaten there after midnight. I swear to God, I've never eaten there during the day.
What was it? It was after, Wine and Dine, the first one?
Yeah, it was after a run. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, it's open 24 hours, so, yeah. Hey.
Nice.
Gotta love that.
Hoop-de-doo musical review?
Yahoo!
100%. Yeah.
Really?
It still does well. It's been around forever, and it does really well. I mean, I haven't been to it since I thought they made some changes to the show in terms of, like, that song isn't in there anymore. Yahoo! But anyway, it continues to do well, and I think it's been there for such a long time for a good reason, right?
Yeah, they shortened the actual length of the show, but,
Get food's to the point.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the food's great. Len, do you remember we ate there? And we ate there because we're suckers, Len. We ordered off the menu.
I know where you're going.
Oh yeah, salmon.
One of your old researchers was I think vegetarian because she could eat salmon.
Yeah.
And they brought like this other option, and you were like, "Wow, why am I eating this when I could have had that?"
So they did a special cedar plank salmon dish for her with fresh green beans, and was it mashed potatoes or something else? And we're eating literally. Eating food out of a bucket. They bring the ribs in a bucket. And she's eating the cedar plank salmon. And we're like, oh, we are idiots. We are just the stupidest people. We're eating food out of a bucket. I gotta tell that story more often. That was funny. Oh, man. All right. So that's that. Let's finish up the top nine, the 90th percentile here. Ohana. I hear they brought the chicken back on the menu.
Ooh, that'd be great if they did that.
I mean,
people still love it. So, and the proof right there is in your survey results. I just think they keep on taking so much away. But I guess it's just, I don't know. Is it just the fact that it's where it is and people just, they're at the Polynesian, they're going to eat somewhere? Or
it's really hard to go wrong with unlimited grilled meats, right?
I guess so. Yeah, it's hard to screw that up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the last two, Raglan Road and Earl of Sandwich, both at Downtown Disney.
Ooh. Oh. I mean, Earl Sandwich, man, it's like the best like $5 you ever spend in your life.
It's true.
And they take AAA discount. The only place in Disney World that you can get AAA discount, but not annual pass discount. It's very odd, but it's a great deal. I mean, for like it's the cheapest way to feed your family, and it's good food too.
It is. It is. It's true.
Yep. And then the what was the other you were going to mention? Not
Raglan Road.
Raglan Road. Yeah, that's also a great choice.
It is.
If you want entertainment, we always recommend right Len going in the evening because they have the great dancing and going on.
Yep. It's true.
But even in the afternoon, it's not a bad choice. And the other thing is, and I think you were there, I'm not sure if it was you or Fred Hazelton, we discovered this, that you go in and there's obviously table service there, but it can get very busy. But you can go eat at the bar, I say bar in air quotes, because there are tables at the bar.
Yeah, there's tables at the bar. I've eaten there.
You get the full service, you get the whole thing, you just don't have to, I don't know, there's no ADRs required, so it's not a bad little backup strategy.
It's true.
All right, all right.
Well, let's do the group at the middle, then we'll do the group at the bottom.
Okay, sure, sounds good.
So the group at the middle, by the way, let me point out that the All-Star Sports End Zone Food Court at 80% rated higher than the bunch of restaurants we're about to talk about here.
Wow.
that's awesome.
Ready? Shudders at Old Port Royal, 77% thumbs up. That's decidedly average for this group.
This is becoming very disturbing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Shudders is the epitome of average restaurants in Walt Disney World. I wouldn't eat there if it was free.
Yeah. I wouldn't eat there if someone didn't sneeze on my food.
So the next two, mildly surprising. The first one is very surprising. The second one, maybe not so much. Flying Fish, 77%.
Wow, that low?
Yeah.
I mean, Len, we ate there. Now, granted, this was probably, what now, 3 years ago? 2 years ago? But it was really good.
Two reunions ago, yeah. So not this last year. So you're about 15 months ago, 14 months ago. Yeah, I thought it was good. I've eaten there, many late nights. I thought it was good. I don't know what's up with that.
I ate there in January. It was fine.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah. It's surprising it's that low.
Could be the prices.
Sure. Okay.
The other one that, and this is only a little bit more surprising, Portobello Country Italian Trattoria, 75%.
I hate that restaurant.
It's been a while since I've been there. Yeah.
You know, I went there, it was good.
I went there that one time you gave me the free, thing.
Coupon.
You got, the gift certificate, and it was one of the worst meals I've ever had in Walt Disney World.
Wow. Okay, so.
I almost walked out on that one, so it, okay.
Next one, Pepper Market, 75%.
Yeah.
Also Cafe Rick's at, Coronado Springs. Wow. So I hear Pepper Market's actually getting rid of that little card system.
They've changed that place more often than, like, the Jets have changed head coaches. Hi-yo!
But I mean, Pepper Market, it's not, some people love Pepper Market. Hannah loves Pepper Market.
I loved it back in the day before they started messing with it, like, every 6 months. It just seems like they keep on changing. This is it sit down? Is it not sit down? Is it this? I don't know why they keep on, like, the food-wise, it's always been really good. I always enjoyed that. But they keep on messing with, like, you know, what's included, what's table service, what's not. I just don't understand, like, the impetus behind it. But I think it's the changes keep on, obviously, it's, you know, sitting there in the middle, so not bueno, but, you know.
Last two, Cafe Rick's, 75%. Captain Cook's, 74%.
Is this new Captain Cook's or old Captain Cook's?
So it's a blend. It's over the last 12 months. So actually it's new. So it's,
Probably new.
I mean, we all ate a Captain Rick's. Captain Cook's.
Captain Rick's, yeah.
Captain Cook's, in December when it was already refurbished.
I mean, but you know, of all the people that were eating there, I think we had some good meals. We had a few average meals.
Yeah, my noodle thing was terrible, but the Reuben sandwich I had later on was really good.
So that I can see how that's 75% average. Yeah. I think, you know, one good, one bad is average, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's the only place that they took away the electronic ordering. It's like, you know what we need to do? Have people take your order.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. God. I don't understand that at all.
All right, so let's go through the bottom of the list.
Oh, my God.
All right. Do you want me to go worst to least worst, or do you want me to go bad to worst?
Bad to worst. Let's see what – because I think we all have in our mind what's the worst, and we're trying to, you know, see if that's actually going to be.
Huh.
All right. So one of the worst – I'll give you the bottom six. One of Matt's old favorites, the Turf Club Bar and Grill.
I'm not surprised. They lobotomized that menu. Let's put it that way.
That's what I've heard. Laurel stayed there last week, actually, and said that the menu was just
terrible.
Yeah. They just took stuff off the menu. They made it cheaper. It was unfortunate because at one point it had one of the best, most underrated restaurants in Walt Disney World, I thought. And I ate there with Yulin, and actually Bob hated it, but we all liked it.
Yeah.
And, but. Then they kept on, like, just making it worse and worse. Cheaper is what they went.
Well, I think what Laurel was saying is that there's, you know, their clientele is essentially people who don't have cars who are staying at Saratoga Springs and who can't walk to Downtown Disney.
I mean, that was the case before, too. It's just, I don't know why they
They had ambition for it, though, earlier, right? Plans for it.
When I think of that restaurant, you know how over the years people say, you know, never go to a hotel restaurant. You know, not necessarily Disney, but if you travel, if you go on business, whatever, you'll never have a good hotel restaurant. That's what that restaurant hits me as.
I can think of like the Swan and the Dolphin. I can think of like five good restaurants right there.
Oh yeah.
Mike's talking about like if you're in, you know, the I don't know, some random hotel in, you know,
in New York. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You drive around and go get something better.
Oh yeah, so I mean, if you're staying at the Sheraton Inn in Piscataway, you're not going to the Kit Kat Club for dinner, right?
No.
Get in your car and drive, right? All right. Next one, Downtown Disney, Paradiso 37. I've eaten there, not in the last year, obviously, because I had the Samuel thing, but I can kind of see this.
I've only heard that their margaritas were good. I never ate here.
It wasn't memorable. That's the thing. Okay, next one, Big River Grill and Brewing Works. Who goes there for anything other than beer? You know that
I was gonna say I ate there once, fairly recently. With I was meeting Annette over there, and surprise, surprise, she was late. And so we were like, "All right, we're gonna order food."
Who?
That's right. And we had the food, and it's okay. Yeah, you go there for the drinks, but don't come for the food. Don't stay for the food. Come for the drinks.
Hmm. What about the appetizers? Any good?
Man, it was all.
I tend to think of things like, you know, loaded fries.
Yeah, it was like really a poor man's TGI Fridays kind of food, like that. And that's bad, you know.
All right, staying at the Boardwalk area, ESPN Club.
I mean, it's overpriced. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I can't think of anything memorable in the menu there, too.
No.
Yeah. But you know, the catered breakfast we do there every year? Fantastic.
Yeah. That's actually really good.
Yeah, they should serve breakfast.
I'm looking.
Yeah. Next to last, the number two worst restaurant in Walt Disney World, Spirit of Aloha Dinner Show. I'm surprised this didn't win.
Wow.
You must have, a tear must have come to your eye, Len, when you saw this, and, you know, it's just vindication, right?
It's, you know, I've been saying it for years. I think this is the least good of all of the dinner shows. It only serves to show you how difficult it must be to serve 200 people simultaneously. There's nothing redeeming about the food at the Spirit of Aloha Dinner Show.
My favorite anecdote about your review, Len, about the Spirit of Aloha is you've got fire and you've got food, and yet they managed to screw it up.
Exactly. Right? it's fire, scantily clad, good looking people, and food. And they screwed up. I mean, what? It's like if Showgirls had fire and food and you screwed up. I don't understand.
Somehow they managed to do it. And they screwed up for a long time now.
I mean, somebody's actually trying there to screw it up, right? That's what it is. It's like, look, we need to put a DVC here. We need to tape, but we need to get rid of this thing.
Maybe
it's
it'll
like,
get better when they enclose it.
I hope it's somebody's evil plan, right? Master plan, and that it's evil.
Isn't that the plot to the producers? Like, it's the same thing for a restaurant?
It is, but this is like a 10-year con. This thing's been going on forever.
It's like the springtime for Hitler.
Spirit of Law. They should just bring that out. That's going to be my review. If the producers ran a restaurant, Spirit of Law, I swear to God, that's what I'm going to write. February 2015, Matt Hodgeberg.
Yeah, all rights reserved.
All right. Oh, my God, that's funny. All right. Any idea? Worst restaurant in Walt Disney World. Here we go. We're counting on the hits.
Worst
done.
One. I'm thinking it's got to be in Downtown Disney.
You are
and
right.
And I'm thinking it's a restaurant that I think is closed since it was open during the year, so it qualifies.
Qualifies.
It is the one, the only, Captain Jack's.
No.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes.
Did Captain Jack's make it in the survey?
Didn't get enough to qualify, but it would have been pretty bad.
Oh, that was the go-to. All right. What's a really next? Oh!
I got it.
All right. Go ahead, Mike. There's one of two. You're going to have to go one way or the other. Same company that owns them.
Planet Hollywood.
Score, Mr. Scopo. Planet Hollywood.
Wow. Absolutely. I was barely thinking actually T-Rex, but yeah.
T-Rex amazingly does well, let's face it. Yeah, actually, it's above average, 88%. T-Rex, I mean, I think it's the desserts. Planet Hollywood, dude, 50%. Oh, my God. I mean, so again, the average is 75, but if you think about average at a theme park restaurant is 85%. To be at 50% is essentially you're serving salmonella. Right? Wow. People must go into gastrointestinal distress in the restaurant itself.
I'm not sure if they still... Do they still give you those free coupons like they used to back in the day with every package?
Yeah.
I don't know because back in the day you used to get this little, like anybody staying anywhere in Walt Disney
World, even
like
on
property. Yeah, we get some coupon, right? And I'm not sure if they still, and that was like, that's always a bad sign when they're giving it away like always to everybody. But I mean, it's been terrible forever.
It's been terrible for, there's nothing redeeming about anything there. The desserts are unimaginative. The food is unimaginative. The coffee is bad. It's just not good. It actually did worse. Planet Hollywood did, just for comparison, Cuisine by Cat Cora, which closed because it was so unpopular, 25 percentage points worse than that. Planet Hollywood was, yes. Yes.
It's just proof that if the check clears for Disney, they'll keep their any restaurant.
Exactly. Well, also it's sort of iconic at the front of
iconically bad. Yeah,
it's kind of like having the crazy aunt in the front of your house that everyone sees when they come in. Like you can't just quietly get rid of her because you know people are going to come and be like, oh, where's that Edna? Oh, she went to live in the country.
Hey, Tony's is in the front of the Magic Kingdom, so clearly that. Being in the front does not necessarily an indicator of good food.
Yeah, Tony's needs a big icon, so it's a guarantee you never lose. But anyway, that's it right there. If we didn't mention your restaurant, it's probably somewhere in the middle. But text us, send us a Twitter tweet, if one of the whatever you kids call those things, and we'll tell you restaurant where your restaurant ended up.
Very good, thank you, Len, as always.
All right, welcome.
We got time for a couple questions here. We'll work them in. First is from my friend Christy from Clinton Township, Michigan. Right, so I'm looking to squeeze in a Disney trip this fall, and I would love to see the Osborne Lights. Do we even know yet whether they're returning? And if so, when they might be? The Christmas party began November 7th last year, which is a Saturday this year. I'm thinking of going the 7th to the 14th. I'm trying to go when the crowds are lower and when there's a high chance that we can and will want to swim in the pool. What do you think?
I think she's going a little too early, number one. I think I'd probably try to go the week before Thanksgiving. As far as what's going to be there.
I can tell you that when we were at Reunion and we were at the Osborne Lights, I was talking to one of the managers there for the Osborne Lights. He was the Osborne Lights manager on duty. And I said flat, I said, dude, you know, what about the rumors that it's not coming back? And he told me, now this was at the time, he said, we have heard nothing to the contrary. We were planning on, you know, 2015 as per usual. So until we hear otherwise, we're still going with it.
I've heard it's coming back for this year too.
Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't.
We'll know in August probably.
Okay. So,
well, what I've heard is that they're at the point now where they literally can't cut anything else from the park.
The other thing is in terms of the Osborne Lights timing, you should be fine with those dates because way back in the past, like I'm talking like probably 10 years ago now, they used to like alternate between having the Osborne Lights start like literally the week before Thanksgiving versus like earlier on in November. But the last like 5 years plus now, it's always been very early. So I think those dates you'll be fine.
Yeah,
I think you'll be promising it.
No, you'll be fine.
And those will still be good for swimming, right? November 7th to the 14th.
Oh, yeah. Warm. Plenty warm. Yeah.
Yeah. Crowd-wise, pretty good time as well, Len? 7th to the 14th?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Very good. Next, if you
need help. You just have to watch out November. Have to watch out for Jersey Week. But that usually varies. But around that, you'll be fine.
Also, Wine and Dine, half marathon weekend.
Oh, is that the same week?
Let me see. Hold on.
The other thing Christy also asked is when they're going to announce it. They'll wait a while. You're not going to get a date for a considerable amount of time, but I would still book it knowing. I think it's a safe bet to wait.
Wine and Dine is weekend is November 6th and 7th, yes.
Okay, so yeah, she'll be there for it.
Yep.
Next, we have an email from Jeff from Weatherly, Pennsylvania. Yes, that's in the Poconos. Yes, I am reasonably close to the beautiful Mount Airy Lodge. Insert jingle here. Yeah. On to my question. Today I opened a Disney savings account on the Disney website. Easy setup and a neat little calculator to estimate your payments. Normally, I just book a vacation package and pay on it knowing I will change it 4 times until we go. Are there any advantages or disadvantages to Disney sitting on my money while I wait until the last minute to book for a November 15th trip hoping to lock in free dining? We love to eat, and yes, we always order the most expensive thing on the menu, LOL. Thanks for your insight.
Well, the dining plan might be for you. You know, the only thing is, you know, I would say normally you're not getting interest on your money, but your bank is going to pay you, you know, 0.02%. So, yeah, no big deal there. Yeah,
I think go ahead, Len. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. The one advantage to Disney keeping your money is you're more likely to book if Disney has your money than if you have it in a regular bank account where you use it for something else. So, from Disney's perspective, it's better for them.
Absolutely, and it's a more structured environment. Like you could, you know, you put it, like you said, you put it in, I don't know, a jar somewhere. You put it in one of your savings account. You know, the money can be seized in various means.
Right, right, right.
And this is just also a more structured way of making sure that you get it, you know, set up somewhere. It's a smart little program by Disney because it gets people to, you know, invest in their vacation, and then it's that kind of that. I forget what, Len, you've said this many times, there's a phrase for, like, you're already invested in it, thus you'll continue to go with it.
Sunk costs.
Yes, exactly.
Sunk costs, yeah. It's your sunk cost, yeah. Or inertia, you know, whatever, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Next email from Tom Chapman. I read that we will receive an annual pass with our Escape wedding package. Is it possible to buy a Tables in Wonderland with that annual pass, as I know it's restricted?
Sure. Yeah, no problem at all.
Yeah. Absolutely. An annual pass is an annual pass, no matter how you get it.
It's true.
Next, we have an email from, who's it from? Bill Dwyer. I want to tell you that we bought the Touring Plans app for our trip to the world the last full week of August when we took our grandson for his 6th birthday. It is a piece of gold. Thanks. It and the Disney app always showed us different wait times. Disney was always longer. Your app was always right. It is also
that's funny.
It's also much easier to use for finding food since we're not meat eaters. The speed to pull up the menus was great.
Oh, thank you.
My question is the cost. We're already subscribers to touring plans and then paid again for the app. I met people in the park that said they did not have to pay for the app since they were subscribed to the site, which is correct. If I pay twice, can I get a refund?
Yeah, send me an email. I'll give you a refund. Yeah, you don't have to. If you download the app and subscribe through the app, then you get the site for free, and the same thing is true the other way around. If you subscribe on the site, you get the app for free.
Okay. That's Len at touringplans.com, by the way.
Yeah, send me an email, yeah.
All right. Time for our last question of the day, and I'll pick three emails to choose from. One gets right today. The other two go back into the email queue to be answered later, and usually I have Mr. Newell do this, but since Mike isn't here, I'll ask Mike to do it. Ready, Mike?
I am ready.
All right. Your options are extinct culinary delights. Sorry, Len, I hate planning. Or would it be insane to ...
Oh, boy. What was that first one again, Matt?
Extinct culinary delights.
Let's go at number three, insanity.
All right. Last email today is from Julie, Connor's mom from the Jersey Shore. Going to Disney for a week in late March, even if we plan to skip the... Oh, sorry. This is the question. Would it be insane to go to Disney for a week in late March, even if we plan to skip the parks? Here's the deal. I absolutely love Disney World, and my husband and I were last there in April 2013 for our baby moon. I wrote in and got some great tips for you guys on that. Thank you. Our little guy is now 18 months old, and we're struggling mightily to come up with a place to go on vacation that is warm, super kid-friendly from a hotel and restaurant standpoint, has great pools, and has plenty of kid-appropriate things to do that are close to the hotel to accommodate naps. When you put it all together, I can't think of anything that works as well as staying at a Disney hotel and taking advantage of the boardwalk, riding the monorail, and visiting downtown Disney, and spending lots of time at the pool, doing character meals. The kid is obsessed with all things characters. Eating at different themed restaurants, etc. We would consider going to the Animal Kingdom on one of those days to see the animals visible on the walking trails. I know, but he's just a kid. He doesn't know any better. Is this just nuts? Are we off base here? Would you actually suggest going to any of the parks, like maybe the Magic Kingdom? Please save our vacation.
I don't see why not.
I mean, basically they're going during the last week of late March, which I'm imagining is spring break time, right? That's probably the reason why they're really concerned about that.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was thinking, actually, Len, what about one of the DVC resorts that's not at Walt Disney World, like Vero Beach or Hilton Head?
Hilton Head is lovely. It's very small, but you're walking distance to everything from, you know, reasonably fine dining to Whole Foods. I mean, you can walk or bike, you know, there. Throw the 18-month-old on a bike with a crash helmet and a kid seat, and you're fine.
My only concern is that in late March, how warm is it in South Carolina? Because the other option would be Vero, which obviously is even more south than Walt Disney World.
That's true.
More quiet, too.
I've never been to Vero. It's beautiful. It's tough for me to say, but is it?
Very quiet.
It's very nice. That's just an option. Obviously, it's not the parks, but it gives you that. It gives you everything that they're looking for in terms of, you know, like that kid-friendly, great pools, good temperatures, you know, and that kind of stuff. The other thing I was thinking about was, what about a cruise? Right? I mean, do you like the parks?
That's an idea. Yeah. So the
natural progression.
Yeah. And 18 months is old enough for, so I think Disney upped their age requirement to a year now, but that's a cruise is a good idea too. Nice 3-4 day cruise.
Yeah,
you get the dining, get the recreation, you get the babysitting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not a bad idea at all.
Yeah. But if they're really married to this parks idea, I mean, would you guys think that it's a good vacation if they just, even they plan to skip the parks just from even though it's spring break essentially?
It's a nice vacation.
Yeah. I mean, during the daytime, no matter what, almost except maybe, I guess, Christmas and New Year's, like the resorts are usually like barren in the daytime because everybody's at the parks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you can tell because the parking lots, you can get great parking at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But, you know, it can be a really nice vacation to be able to go there and just, you know, maybe like either a Fort Wilderness or any of the resorts really. It doesn't really matter. But it gives you the opportunity. There's a lot to do. And we often talk about the deluxe resorts have a lot of great activities as well. You go to the front desk and ask them for the activities guide. And this could be, you don't actually have to be staying at the resort to partake in them. And a lot of them, most of them are actually free. And there's, you know, they're for various ages, but there can be a lot of great little activities at the resorts for you to do. And I think it's an overlooked thing. And, you know, that's what they're looking for, right? That kind of a friendly, kid friendly as well, place to go. I wouldn't hesitate to consider that as an option. All right, very good. Well, that'll do it for us today. Don't forget also, for those looking at the calendar, hey, our next live show is actually this Sunday, February 22nd, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We'd love to have you there for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's your opportunity to talk Disney with us live on the air. Yeah, we love doing that. So check us out at this Sunday, February 22nd, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More details at wdwtoday.com. Also, we're being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And, you know, if you're looking to plan a trip, you hear about all these different nuances, dining, resorts, discounts, tickets. Boy, it's a lot to consider. And MEI and Mouse Travel is here to really make that decision a whole lot easier. They're here to help you throughout the process and make it easier on you. Because after all, Disney pays them. You don't pay them anything. So they're a fee-free agency, and they're here to make your lives easier. That's the service they're giving you. It's wonderful. You really got to check them out. MouseFanTravel.com. Also, we're being sponsored by All Star Vacation Homes. And, you know, really, if you're looking for a place for your family, especially when you hit a little bit, you know, more kids in there, when Mike talked about a big congratulations at the top of the show to Mr. Voice and his family, but, you know, Mr. Voice is getting more kids. And trust me, Mr. Voice, the wife is going to be telling you, let's have more, let's have more. And, you know, sooner or later, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be bringing down the whole clan, the Voice clan. And you're going to want a place to stay. And, you know, for the money, it's a wonderful option as an all-star vacation home because you get so much space, so many great amenities, and it's a really great vacation experience just being in the – you're not just in a room. You're in a house, and it makes a big difference. I got to tell you, for families to go down there, and maybe you're bringing your parents with you. Maybe you're bringing cousins, you know, brothers and sisters. I mean, whatever. You can all be in one place. It helps, you know, you can consolidate transportation. Boy, there's so many advantages. Check them out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com. And lastly, we're also being sponsored by touringplans.com. And what a great service. And you know what? For our podcast listeners, we're going to give you a deal. That's right. If you use a special discount code just for our podcast listeners, you will save a bundle on a touringplans.com subscription. Our special discount code is ZUZU2015, ZUZU2015. So use that. And that way you can be the hero of your family, see everything and do everything without waiting for everything, and you're going to save some money on it, so your family's going to think you spent a bundle on getting all these secrets, when in reality, you are a tightwad. So good job. It's win-win for everybody. Check them out right now, touringplans.com. For Len Testa, Mike Sopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.